everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Game Grooves Uncovered podcast. I'm your host, Ro Panaganti. It's been a really cool year for VGM. Usually around January and February, we have just a huge burst of excitement coming from new release ideas, people coming out for the first time and making music online. And of course, I have to talk about exciting conventions, and I am extremely excited for the upcoming VGM Con being held in Minneapolis this year. And I figured we need to get a podcast episode going about it. So I have somebody here today, Vaughn Rowles, to talk about VGM Con. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, Ro, thanks for having me on. This is really exciting. Obviously, I'm excited about the convention too. And but there's no better person to share it with than you know, the Game Grooves audience and yourself. So
no,
super excited to be here.
It's really cool because obviously I haven't gotten a chance to have any sort of episode that's specialized on like a in-person convention. We've had, you know, the VGM Together folks kind of bring on some discussion, but like to talk about this exciting event before a bunch of people get to go there in person is really cool. So I wanted to like kind of initiate, could you introduce yourself and like your role in VGM Con for our listeners who don't know?
Sure thing. So yeah, my name's Vaughn. You might know me as the person who's always adding you in the Discord when I use the at everyone pretty relentlessly. But in part of VGM Con, I am the technically the vice chair of the nonprofit that's behind VGM Con, and then also sort of the de facto number two in the VGM Con structure as an event after Thomas, who many of you probably also know.
Of course.
And my role kind of traditionally becomes operations, making sure things are flowing smoothly at the event, as well as sort of being the middleman for a lot of the planning ahead of time and making sure things aren't getting forgotten about or left behind. And then I, from a music background, I am a violist. I play in a couple of groups. One is a string quartet, which is probably my favorite format to play in. I mean, nothing really beats it. And I also play in a trio, which is violin, viola, and classical guitar.
Very cool.
Ends up having a very folksy sound to it, which I like a lot.
That's awesome. And you know, it sounds like for many people, it the people who are putting together a lot of these conventions seem to also be musicians first, or you know, have like a very dedicated kind of presence, I guess, in the community in that way. And if I were to like rewind, how far back does VGM Con go, you know, either the people behind it and or, you know, having the event at all? Because I feel like I heard about it maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I feel like the rabbit hole goes just a bit deeper.
It definitely does. It goes a little bit deeper. By the way, I want to shout out Sean for Sean VGM. He was at the VGM Con meetup yesterday in Minneapolis.
Very cool.
And he had asked me, "Hey Vaughn, so I heard you're doing an interview with Ro tomorrow." And I was like,
"Oh, yeah.
How do you know about that? What the who leaked this?" But then yeah, he had let me know of a couple of the questions. He actually asked this one. So
Yes.
Before VGM Con, there was this thing called Gamers Rhapsody. And it was a video game music event that was started by Thomas Spargo, one of our founders and currently the chair of VGM Con.
Very cool.
So he started this, and the first year would have been, I believe, 2014. That was before my time. I wasn't involved yet. But so I believe at that point, it was only a 1 or 2 day thing. It was a lot smaller. The attendance was pretty small, but also there was definitely already, even at that sort of early stage, a pretty big interest in Minneapolis. And then I actually got involved because after the first year, I, you know, grew up in orchestra class, like plucking the ocarina themes on my viola in between, and then, you know, the conductor would go like, hey, just, you know, quit pitsing, no pizzicato. And so, you know, I was always kind of entranced by and interested in video game music. And one day in 2014 or 2015, I just Googled gaming music event Minneapolis or Minnesota, and sure enough, up comes Gamers Rhapsody. And then I volunteered the first year, got involved as staff the next year, and then from there we decided that it was kind of getting too big for the event to be, you know, someone's sort of sole responsibility and like liability, especially from like financing it. Tom was really just doing it all himself. So we decided, well, we kind of have like a core team of people here now. What if we make this something more official and legitimate? And so we started an LLC, made it into a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So Gamers Rhapsody is now the name of the 501c3, which runs VGMCon. And we want, at that point, we thought about the rebranding. Like, well, we're struggling to get people to understand what Gamers Rhapsody is. Like when you're at a tabling at some other convention, talking to someone, and you say, yeah, come to Gamers Rhapsody. And they're kind of stumped for a second.
Sure.
So we took that opportunity to rebrand and just get right to the heart of what we are, which is video games and music. So then we became the Video Games and Music Convention. And I believe the first VGMCon was 2016. And then it's happened every year since, 2021 online, of course. But
right.
So yeah, that we've had a pretty great run so far.
That's really cool. And like, you know, every time I bring someone on, and God, we talk about this all the time, everyone's got like a very interesting pickup point, you know, where, yeah, as a kid, they played game music, or, you know, high school or college even, you know, started playing around with music. And then you go on YouTube or Spotify or you know, for some people, OC Remix forums, and you get caught. And I love that you were taking an initiative to look around your local area for game music representation of some sort, because, you know, a lot of people I talked to in Midwest are always talking, you know, VGMCon's what we got, but, you know, you East Coasters get MAGFest and, like, BitGen and all these things, and West Coast gets, like, PAX West, and they get TwitchCon and like all sorts of different like huge gatherings. But yeah, the truth of the matter is like North Carolina doesn't even have one. So I really do love that you were able to find something nearby and then, you know, just attract a huge number of people who never get to conveniently go.
Yeah, it was really lucky, honestly, because especially at, you know, at that sort of, I mean, for me, it's kind of like that was the proto proto VGM era, right? For me, it hadn't become a huge thing. I had never been to a MAGFest, never even been to a VGM concert of any kind up to that point. And the fact that there was something right here in the Twin Cities was really fortunate for me. And looking back now, I feel very lucky that we had that, because. There isn't a whole lot in the Midwest, but thankfully we've kind of been able to cultivate a much more regional and eventually national presence here. So we're really proud of that, and we hope that it's, you know, we don't want to be mutually exclusive. We hope that that can kind of be something that other parts of the Midwest can embrace and make their own too, because we won't, you know, I think we kind of best operate as a plurality of different events and part one big community all sort of working together to push everything forward.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I feel like, you know, no one convention or group or community is going to like be able to take credit for all this, but what's happening is really cool. And I feel like just the perception of VGMCon, having only participated online right now and watched a lot of the concerts from before, and, you know, heard a lot of awesome stories from performers before and great things, you know, I'm like trying to picture what this will be like. And How do you kind of picture VGMCon now that you have attended, you know, other conventions or, you know, been a part of online communities, especially like for 2022 and, you know, the upcoming 2023 con?
Well, I think I'll actually have a bit of a similar perspective to you, Ro, because it won't be my first time, but I actually have not been to an in-person VGMCon since 2019. So this is a bit of a homecoming for me as well. And so a lot has changed and it's actually grown quite a bit since I was last there. I've been involved the whole time with planning. It's just that I wasn't able to make 2020. 2021 was online. I was, of course, there for that.
Right.
But 2022, I was also gone. So I'm really excited to be back and also kind of see what's changed from what I remember. But I think the it always feels like a compliment when people say that VGMCon feels like, you know, how they first remember MAGFest long ago when it was maybe smaller. And I don't sort of have that comparison to make, but it always feels flattering to me because MAGFest is kind of like the flagship of for us in the US. I mean, it's so huge, it's so important for the scene, and a lot of people talk about how, you know, they remember the old days when, you know, the venue was smaller, there were fewer people, and they kind of felt like they knew everyone there.
Yeah.
So close knit, and you know, people drawing that comparison with VGMCon, it always makes me feel good that that's kind of a very cool point to be at. I don't know how long we can stay there, you know, at that sort of perfect size or perfect size venue, perfect attendance number. You know, we might have to enjoy it while it lasts, but I'm really loving where we're at and super excited to see what VGMCon 2023 will be like in that regard.
That's exactly what everyone's been, because as you can imagine, I've been nonstop talking about VGMCon to people and like, Mom, I'm going to Minneapolis. And she's like, pack a jacket. You're going to die.
You'll need one. I can see snow coming down outside my windows right now. Unfortunately,
I am. I've lived in North Carolina maybe 19 or 20 years of my life, so I am pretty. I'm pretty used to the heat, but I'm excited for this. But yeah, this early MAGFest small con discussion, and I always want to phrase things in a way that properly appreciates. You know what makes VGMCon special is not. You know, you don't have to compare it to MAGFest, but I do think that feeling that people bring up is this special early community feel, or just the intimacy of like knowing everybody and everybody introducing each other to one another. It's very manageable. So like, you know, just for your reference, my first MAGFest was 2014. I went with David Russell and I knew 8 people going, I believe. Rich IDB, Thunder Scott, Family Jewels, Mick Lechu, and like just a handful of people. So I knew who I might bump into. So whenever people describe this early MAGFest and what maybe is the feel of early VGMCon, I think it's just that, you know, you kind of have a lot of people you know, yet that, you know, you spend most of your time with the same folks and it's not too overwhelming, but it's easier to kind of like converse. It's easier to meet new friends because there's only maybe like 5 to 10 that you have to kind of introduce yourself to. And, you know, to your point, it's interesting that you bring up like how long it'll sustain. You know, have you found that people are talking more about VGMCon in like the online circles? Like, is it growing in name recognition, you think?
Definitely. So I'm also our social media manager, and the number of times I see our name get thrown out, or us getting tagged in something from someone I've never seen before, or maybe who I've been aware of, though we've never interacted directly, and then suddenly we're on their radar. It's happening so much more frequently now, which is really cool to see, and I think. This is kind of an interesting, it's a good problem to have, but I've heard some people now refer to these kinds of events as VGM cons, like almost like lowercase VGM con yeah. rather than the VGM con, which is like, oh, well, that's actually really cool that, you know, people are kind of have that the name is so potent that it's kind of becoming the sort of like it has like the Kleenex problem where now everything's a Kleenex.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
It's not a tissue. Or even it's a tissue, but not a clean, you know, Kleenex brand or whatever.
So right.
That's a funny issue to have, but I like, I've really enjoyed seeing that growth and to, especially I would say the last 2 years, to really see so much interest in coming to perform from people that I've maybe crossed paths with at MAGFest or who I've only ever seen perform live. And now they're asking if they can fly out to Minneapolis of all right. places. It's really exciting. And I am so thrilled to kind of see Minneapolis becoming a bit of a hub for this scene. I wouldn't right. have predicted this maybe 4 years ago, three years ago even.
No, it's really cool to see that. And, you know, if I just picture for 5 seconds what that would mean if it were, you know, any of my hometowns or in general, like just where I'm at, like it would open up so many great opportunities, especially because, you know, live performance is, it's like a treasure to me. I didn't grow up like playing in bands or anything. So when I started my YouTube channel in 2012 with the VGM entrance, it was like some insane pipe dream when I looked up on the MAGFest stage, like, you know what? Maybe just one day, like I'll be playing, you know, music there. And now VGM Con and VGM, you know, online, VGM together, you have MAGFest, you have people performing at PAX. Like it feels like it's becoming real. And that's a huge credit to how much work, you know, that you're able to put into coordinating and bringing on people, which is hopefully my best segue to, you know, actually talking about the con.
Before we move on, I also want to shout out in, I mean, there's been also really great things happening with Bonus Stage and Ongaku Overdrive as well. So there really is, now is a great time to get into VGM because there's so many opportunities. I've also seen that the Midwest Gaming Classic is having all these music acts. I mean, it's becoming so much more common.
That's right, yes.
To see people getting, I mean, I'm seeing announcements about new performance dates all the time. So awesome to see.
It's exciting. And, you know, the emphasis on like the range has been really nice. And I want to like praise how good that has been to view, like the diversity from personnel and music. Seems like it's a very important part of, you know, artist selection and like panel selection because, you know, everyone listens to different kind of music. And even within, you know, my house, it's like one of us is sitting listening to like loud metal mixes and like hard electronic. And then the other one's working on like a swing jazz thing. And, you know, if you go to VGM Con, it looks like so many different fans of different music styles and backgrounds are going to find not just something, but multiple things to, you know, enjoy and appreciate. How is that like, you know, broadly speaking? Of course, I don't want to like dissect the artist selection, rather just kind of like talk about what kind of makes it tick. And I don't know if that's a role you played either, but, you know, for like the talent coming to VGM Con, how does that go?
So, we typically will, work through a performance application. So every year, every event really, including the online event, will put together a form where, people can apply to perform. They tell us a bit about themselves, their style, their genre, and they show us some examples of their work, and then what it would take to make the event work for them. And I definitely want to mention Austin, who he's our programming director, and he's done, I mean, just a stellar job the last two events for sure. I mean, since the beginning, but especially these last 2 years, in really broadening our Because VGMCon or VGM is a genre of genres, right?
And yes.
me coming from a sort of classical music, chamber music kind of background, and Austin coming from rock and jazz, and you know, everyone's coming to it from a different point, and it would definitely be a disservice to sort of you know, if I could fill the lineup with all string quartets, you know,
right,
I would, but then it would just be the you know, then the V and VGM con would stand for Vaughn, not.
This is not the first time this joke has been made, I swear.
Yeah.
No, but I appreciate you saying that too. Like the curation of any project at all, if you were sitting at your computer about to start a collab, it's a lot of, you know, consideration and, you know, to notice your own biases. I think that's really cool and, you know, important.
And Austin's done a really good job of cultivating relationships with people and different acts from not just the Midwest now, but from both of the coasts, from even, you know, we've got some people coming from international places of origin, and it's he's done a really good job. I really have to shout him out here, but... yeah, we tried to get a good variety of different different genres within VGM, different styles. We also, you know, we have people who we've definitely developed really strong relationships with and who are frequent guests, but we also try to mix it up and to have new faces, new shows,
right.
That people that we'll be seeing for the first time. So yeah, it's always a balancing act. It's something that if it was left up to me, it would maybe not go so well, but Austin's really, really killing it. We've got a great lineup because
you scroll down and, you know, I see bands, I see jazz and funk, and not just like one random one-off act, you know, you have like the Limit Breakers and Don Palombi's Game Night and Insane in the Rain. And then on the metal side, you have like, you have Mon, you have myself, you have Lacey Johnson, like covering the rock fronts. You have electronic artists and DJs. It doesn't feel like this was just someone brainstorming for 5 seconds. Who do I all know in VGM? And obviously, most importantly, there are a lot of acts I'm not familiar with that through, you know, social media announcements have, you know, I've started seeing people like kind of interact and follow each other, and I found like a few cool new bands to keep tabs on, which I love. It's not something I think I even get to do online, you know, as someone who listens to VGM, but you know, it feels different when there's a convention to attend to. I'm curious, like, what's the stage layout and all for VGMCon? Like, as someone who has not been there, I'm excited to see like kind of how this is all laid out. And
so that's actually a great question, probably a great question for someone else on the team, having not been there a couple of years now. But
sure.
I can say that from what I've heard in the sort of after action meetings after each of the last couple events, we've been getting some good feedback on our stage and stage setup, which is, I mean, when we're having so many different music acts and people are saying that, I think that's got to be a good sign. But yeah, we have a stage that's able to handle, like you said, a huge variety of acts, like multi-piece jazz fusion style ensembles, rock groups, more acoustic kind of groups. We've got to be ready to accommodate pretty much anything.
Right.
EDM, of course. So, I do know that we've got, we do have either a grand piano or a baby grand piano.
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome. And yeah, we've got to be ready to set up for such a huge diversity of groups.
No, I love that. And, yeah, I think it also speaks to the fact that VGMCon, when I first saw it, you know, was working with less resources, and now, you know, it feels like it's evolved to accommodate what's important—the music and the people. So I think that's something that people should be extremely excited about. not to move away from the music, but I'm also excited because I see a lot of panels, and panels can be sometimes my favorite part of MAGFest. Just stumbling onto a few of those. What's kind of special about VGMCon when it comes to panels? Are they usually more, focused on music topics instead of kind of broad video games, or?
Yeah, they're generally pretty focused on VGM, especially when, for example, we just announced Jason Graves will be paneling at VGMCon along with Emily Reese from Level with Emily. So that will, of course, be a very music-centric discussion, which is great for people coming who are interested in sort of growing as a musician or producer or arranger or composer, and those sort of, professional development, that kind of angle. But we also do have, we'll be having a VGM quiz. Listening to a song and trying to guess what it's from.
Always love that one.
Well, there will also be, less serious panels, less sort of nuts and bolts technical things. There's also, if people feel like there's a room for something outside of specifically video game music or outside of gaming, outside of either end of the sort of VGM continuum, then we're always open to that because, at places like MAGFest, I mean, it is the music and gaming festival, but there's also so much going on with cosplay there, so much going on with other fandoms, and if there's an appetite for that, we would definitely want to fill that. So yeah, right now it's mostly music, but I'm curious to see how things will, as we get bigger and bigger, what other things will come up, what other topics and panels will become hits.
It's really cool though. Like I think like everyone has a different angle to attending these cons, or like different things they want to do, just like a theme park almost. And to have like, yes, concerts are a mainstay, and it's something I really do, looking at this lineup, feel VGMCon is doing in a very special way. But there's other things that people have been able to participate in, things that I'm seeing like get announced, of course, like you mentioned, cosplay, and it's really exciting. And what else can people kind of look forward to across music and panels, to spend their time or even like participate? Because I know that especially with like VGMConline, it was really cool to see how more people could kind of get excited about VGMCon without necessarily having to be there or things like that.
Yeah, so on site, we do have, which has become a huge hit over the last few years, we do have a jam space run by wonderful people from VG Lead Sheets.
Oh, awesome. Big shout out.
So yeah, we have a jam space where people can come, bring an instrument and pick up an arrangement and start playing along with people they know, people they don't know. You never know. It's super exciting. And there's also this sort of open times for jamming, as well as more guided or thematic jams around a certain theme or certain genre. So that's always fun for people on site. If people are looking to participate online, we will be doing a 72-hour charity album jam once again.
Very cool.
To speak to the point of sort of sustaining our online presence, that was something we first did in 2021.
Yeah.
Of course, at the time that we were planning it, which would have been really immediately after VGMCon 2020, which was it for the US, it was a single digit number of days before mandatory lockdowns started in most states and cities. So That was the environment we were planning 2021. Right, right. And we pretty quickly decided this, we can't do it in person. We have to go online.
Right.
And that was a really cool experience. We learned a lot from that in how to run that sort of professional of a stream. So every year we also partner with Midwest Speedfest. They're a group of charity speedrunners, and they host a charity speedrunning marathon event at our in-person at VGM Con. For 2021, we did it two parallel streams online with them, and they're pros at this. They're masters of long, long streams. And they kind of helped us a bit in getting ours set for that weekend. And so going through that, where we did an all online event, we learned a lot about how to do that. And we also saw how big of an appetite there was for that, and how many people going into 2022 wanted to see that return in some fashion. So
right.
we've also do have a sort of online stage where we'll be streaming acts that will be performing on our online stage.
That's
and then
so cool.
The charity speed run by Midwest Speedfest will also be streamed. So it'll be happening live at the event as well as on Twitch. So we really do want to make it so that especially post, it's really not post COVID, but coming
sure.
out of the changes that COVID brought to VGM and to event running, we do want to keep that online aspect so that people can participate from wherever.
I love that. And you'll probably have heard it a million times and you'll hear it again. It's like these online conventions, sure, they're from the comfort of your home and, you know, you're far away from a lot of people, which might be a bummer, but the accessibility for anybody who wants to be a part of this scene to just be able to do it without having to fly anywhere, without having to, you know, for mobility accessibility issues, or if there, you know, particular performance benefits from online and may not translate to like an in-person, like you've opened up huge opportunities by doing VGM Conline, let alone keeping that up. So it could very likely be my favorite thing about, you know, the conventions right now is that, you know, somebody could be participating from UK, you know, so they don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars flying over or, you know. And I'm sure on social media, we'll be hearing much more about all the great acts that are contributing that way. But I just think that's really awesome that, you know, it's probably more work, right? But
oh, of course. It is quite a bit of an effort to do them both at the same time. You know, in 2021, the great thing about doing the stream was we didn't have to do
an
IRL event. So that kind of balanced itself out. But while it is challenging, I think the demand for it has been significant. We want to make sure that people still have access to that. And another great way that we've been keeping that aspect of our events around post 2021 is through the Game Music Remix Awards.
I wanted to talk about that.
able to get involved from anywhere, which is super cool to see applications coming in from South America, from Europe, from everywhere, all over the U.S. It's really I didn't think that we would be involved with them for so long, but it's here we are
a couple
of years after doing it for the first time, and it's kind of become a mainstay and definitely a way for people to continue to get involved even if they can't make it out in person, which has been me, by the way, the last couple, so I appreciate it too.
No, it's awesome, and I'm sure you know, like, the Game Music like Remix Awards kind of had its own unique origin for a while now, and being, you know, propped up by different groups and organizations. And I think it was VGM Conline the first year, or maybe even a year before, where it was kind of handed because it was such a like exciting community event. You know, just kind of celebrate what everyone's been excited about within the VGM scene. You know, not in like a hyper competitive out for blood way, of course, but like,
right.
You know, there was always like a little bit of fun pageantry in it. When it was held at MAGFest, I remember sitting in the theater a few times being like, wow, look at all these like remixers. Wait, I know these people. Like, I remember sitting next to Carlos Ini, when his Undertale album won Album of the Year. And it was a humongous surge of inspiration because, you know, so many people had really been impressed by that work. And of course, it kind of like helped him meet a lot of cool people. I've had great experiences as well with my Zelda album, actually, in 2018 at MAGFest, winning Album of the Year. And then I helped edit, I think, all the little transitions last time or so. And mm-hmm. I've always pushed people to like, look, it's not just an awards kind of ceremony like an Oscars, more as it's an excuse to kind of watch a lot of really cool previews of video game music that a lot of people were really impressed by. And I'm really excited that VGMCon is keeping that, you know, just for that kind of element.
You know, bro, I think I was in the room when Carlos won that. I think I remember that as
really?
Well.
That was that 2016. That was a big moment. Yeah, 2016 MAGFest. And I remember,
of course, my first, I think. I think actually 2016 was my first MAGFest.
That's really cool. I think it was held in one of the larger ballrooms back then. And a few of the guest judges, like David Wise and, a few different like composers like that were there. And there's music performances for those as well. That was another thing I loved about VGMConline. I believe Lacey Johnson and I kind of bookended, sent like little performances. I think it was around 2021 for VGMConline because I chose Hades, if I recall, since that had just come out. So it was a really cool event, and I'm appreciative that it's kind of going to be a part of VGMCon as well.
And part of that is because of potentially people who are listening right now. We had a record number of submissions this Ooh. Year, and I mean, if that continues, then we kind of have to keep it around. It's becoming bigger and bigger every year because so many of you are willing to put yourselves out there and to get your arrangements and recordings, you know, critiqued by people. That's a big step to make, especially if it's a first time that you're doing that. So
yeah,
again, we got record number of submissions this year, and that's because of a lot of you in the audience who are listening, who are making these arrangements, making this music, and putting yourself out there. And so huge props to all of you for that.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know there's exciting guest judges who are, you know, well known by the community, and it's a really cool chance to see different things represented. And in particular, I have to thank y'all for putting a music video category, because I adore getting to make music videos for video game music, and I love seeing really creative ones. So I'm really hopeful that a lot of our peers watching and doing really cool creative things have shared that in the awards for the upcoming one.
Yeah, that is a really cool new addition as well. Yeah, I know that for some people the who have kind of moved from making sort of high production value videos to more just focusing on the recordings themselves because of, you know, how YouTube sort of
absolutely
incentivizes or maybe disincentivizes that.
It's a change in the audience and the medium for sure.
But even still, there are, I mean, amazing videos being made by the people who are still doing it. And so, yeah, this is a great chance to recognize that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the convention is growing with the times, and I feel like this is a good reflection. One of the last things I definitely have to talk about is the theme. I, you know, as you might have guessed, I freaking love Zelda. It's my favorite game series. I'm unbelievably excited to perform Zelda music at a Zelda con. I'm just excited. How did that come out? You know, and do you picture just everybody's going to be dressed up like Link walking around? And, you know, what's that going to be like picking the theme for a VGM con, especially that's so focused on game music?
Yeah. So, if I understand correctly from what I've heard from the rest of the team, The way that the theme for this year was decided was a bunch of us, you know, brainstormed different potential themes for 2023. And at the end of the 2022 event, people who were at the, I believe it was like the sort of feedback and closing ceremonies type panel at the very end of the con.
Yeah.
Were able to vote on those themes that we had proposed. And someone, I can't even remember who on the team, I would have to suspect it was either Tom or Sarah if they're listening, but someone said, oh, what if it was, what if we were just, it was all Zelda, you know, what, oops, all Zelda.
Right.
And it was kind of just a joke proposed, you know,
sure,
potential theme in order to have enough options to make the choice seem meaningful. And then, of course, it won in a landslide.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to all of the more, I mean, not that it wasn't serious, Zelda's serious business.
It
but,
is.
You know, we had all these other potential themes.
Sure.
That we had, like, not meticulously crafted, but, you know, the one that I had, I definitely thought about it for a while and found some example images and kind of wrote out a little.
Sure.
Mini thesis of like how this could, you know, what would tie into it and how it would look on the stage. And
can you share it, or would it be like spoiling in case it, you know,
might... It could come back for, it could be, okay. We're using some of the same ideas we had for 2023. We'll be reusing some of those to submit for potential 2024.
Okay, sure.
So I don't want to give it away, even though it is.
Yeah, please don't. Like, this, you can throw like some obvious no's, but I know right. There's a lot of great ideas out there, I'm sure. Like, oops, all Zelda.
So funny how it was like, none of us thought that would be the one that wins. And then, of course, it is the one that wins. But I've been really, people have been excited about the theme. I've got to say that Tom, our chairman, and also he does all of our design stuff. He did just a stellar job with the designs of the branding for the year. And he's a huge Legend of Zelda fan.
Right.
So it was kind of a really good fit for him. But also at the same time, his first Zelda game was like Spirit Tracks.
Wow.
So that's a
interesting
way to get involved. But yeah, he really killed it with the designs this year. We've gotten a lot of really positive feedback. And I'm actually wearing the new shirt right now. It's super comfortable. It's
double-sided.
It's got like the Gate of Time on the back. So
they look awesome. And I am
if you're super into the merch, then we've got all kinds of stuff like mouse pads, pins, shirts, buttons, and like patches for sewing on, all kinds of cool stuff.
That's really exciting. And both Allison and I are definitely going to hit that up because I love the designs. I thought they were awesome. One running joke that our own Gunder Slam has brought up is you got a Zelda con and it's a game music con and you have so many different acts. So what songs do you think we're going to hear the most? Because his prediction was Song of Storms.
That's my first instinct, is Song of Storms.
Mm-hmm. I said Dragon Roost Island from The Wind Waker because I feel like that's just, you know, like the rock, paper, scissors, like you get in your head and you're like, oh, rock is too obvious one. So you go one farther away. And I feel Song of Storms, Dragon Roost Island, and then maybe like the Zelda theme would be the one played.
You know, So my first instinct is definitely Song of Storms. So I'm
okay.
I see where Gunderslam's coming from on that one. And Dragon Roost is definitely a good candidate. But now that I think about it for a moment, I wonder if it will be Dark World from Link to the Past. Because hear me out. It can be played in so many different styles. Mm-hmm. Like I can imagine it as an EDM remix. I can imagine it as like a hard metal like really heavy arrangement. I can imagine it in a sort of classical or sort of orchestral kind of style.
Yeah.
So
the flexibility.
Maybe, it's a flexible song. Maybe That'll be my pick. Then maybe that's the three. That's the rock, paper, and scissors.
Okay. Now here's a the opposite now. What would be the coolest deep cut to see perform? And if anyone's listening that's performing at VGMCon, you obviously have to put it into your set now.
There is a song from I believe it's from Triforce Heroes.
Ooh, okay.
Which is already a bit of a deep cut.
It is. I think Terra C Music's the only one who's covered Triforce Heroes that I know.
So there's a song from that. I think it's called like Woodland Theme.
Okay.
So Tom, who is also known as the Toter in his music stuff.
Sure.
I play in a trio with him. We have an arrangement of that, and that song is so fun to play. Like I think it was our friend Ken, who's also a board member, our violinist. He wrote the arrangement for it, and it's so much fun. It's so catchy too, and I've never heard any versions but the original version, and then us playing it live. So if someone plays it, if it comes up, I will be ecstatic. It's such a cool song, and maybe a bit underrated.
That would be so cool, and you know, on top of all the the gushy con stuff we mentioned, part of me is excited to hear like new music or like learn new things about Zelda that I didn't know too. So I think it would be really cool to get some Triforce Heroes. My vote would be a little less exciting, but I want to see someone cover like Great Bay Temple from Majora's Mask. Like take any of the very popular Zelda titles and then pick like really weird deep cuts in there. That always excites me just because it's like, it's super familiar, but you kind of can't put your finger on it. And that may or may not be part of my strategy here. But
yeah, it's one of those songs that like you hear it and you're like, I know this, but you have, you know, kind of no idea.
Oh yeah.
Where it's exactly.
Also
from,
Malomart.
Sort of under the radar.
Malomart. Yeah, as long as, you know, like getting people up and dancing is also another great part of these cons. So like that would be pretty nice. That would make my day.
That would be really, really funny. And then now I'm just trying to imagine who would be the funniest to see do the vocals to that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have high hopes and I want to see as many acts as I can. And I'm sure there's going to be an injective humor and Zelda memes and...
Yeah, of course.
On that topic, of course, like if there's any sign of CDI Zelda, you know, we'll go ballistic. And I may or may not have been trying to investigate if anyone's going to do that and how.
Let me make a prediction on who's most likely to do that. I'm gonna guess Ian Cowell as a sort of master memer. I could see Ian dusting off the CDI during his set.
I would love to see that happen. I definitely feel like that's most likely to happen. At the same time, again, I balls in everybody's court to do something hilarious Zelda meme-y.
I mean, yeah, everyone, you've still got a month. If you're coming, then you've got some time to touch up an arrangement or dig deep for something crazy.
Absolutely. On that note, my 1% plug, of course, I am extremely excited and very honored to get to play VGMCon. It will be my first American, I guess, solo performance at a con that's formalized. It's a very lengthy qualifier, but my last performance that wasn't with a band or like kind of set up myself and so on and so forth, was at Con Bravo 2018 in Canada. So, obviously I've been performing a ton on Twitch and, I got to perform at Magfest with like a little underground jam space show this year with a band. My set is 100% all Zelda, every console main Zelda.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have covers for a lot of them. So I've been basically nonstop working on them.
Just been in the lab getting ready for this.
Yeah. Again, it's my favorite game series. And, you only get to do this kind of thing once a year at a con or so. So, I'm very excited and I'm going to have a few surprises and and things in there. And obviously, I, like everybody, will probably be dressing up like Link or doing something fun and just soaking it all in. So I'm super excited. Where can everyone find more info on VGMCon? Is there anything that they can watch afterwards or stream, you know, just to be a part of it if they're not able to go?
So you can find us at vgmcon.org. And also if you search VGMCon on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, we've also got a Discord. So find us in any of those places or in multiple of them. I think that we will be recording not just the main stage sets, but also the boss stage sets, which is like the second.
Yes.
Or the hero stage. Sorry, it's boss stage is the main one, and then hero stage is the secondary one. I believe I've heard rumblings that we will be recording both. So
very cool.
My hope is that we will be getting full sets out there for people to watch on YouTube. We'll of course have our Twitch stream, which people will be able to find the VODs of for that on Twitch. So
awesome.
If people don't find out about the event until after it's already happened, there'll definitely be ways to watch it. And I'm hoping that we'll also be doing some more things outside of the annual event. Now that we've kind of started nailing that for a few years now, I'm looking to, as a personal goal, kind of transcend just that one time a year event and to have some sort of a more sustained presence, whether we're doing local events here in the Minneapolis, Minnesota, right, or upper Midwest, or doing streams from time to time. I'm hoping to in the next year or two kind of have a more constant year-round presence that sort of leads into that once a year big flagship event. So feel free to follow us everywhere, and hopefully you will see more and more of us, so much so that you look on every social media platform, all you see is VGMCon. You go outside, you hear people talking about VGMCon, you lift a rock off the ground, underneath it is VGMCon.
You're just describing the perfect trailer for VGMCon right now.
Now I'm going to have to make a video of that.
I know. There's future themes, future advertisements. You know, there's a lot of good ideas in this podcast.
This has been an idea generator, especially since I have to, I'm the one who has to like think of the memes.
Yes.
For all of our social media stuff. So this is giving me
this is good
ideas.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an incredible overview, and this has been like a hype train just going on for VGMCon, which I'm sure is going to be a blast, and there's so much work going into it and so many people who are going to be a part of it. So I really appreciate getting to talk to you about it for the last little bit here.
Yeah, thanks, Ro. I'm really glad that you asked to have us on as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing you perform live at our event and to seeing and meeting so many of you that are listening. If I haven't met you before, to see you for the first time, or to see you, VGMCon is also kind of like a reunion now, where I haven't seen in a certain amount of time, I'll get to see them. So yeah, super excited to be able to share in this excitement with you, because it'll be my first time back in a while as well. So I'm on the hype train with you, all aboard.
Absolutely.
Everyone hop on.
Spirit Tracks reference. once again, thank you for joining, and everybody listening, please check out VGMCon on all the aforementioned socials. And of course, if you're not able to go, there are so much that you can do to check out awesome music, be a part of really cool events, check out the Game Music Remix Awards, check out the streams, and of course, if there's going to be more in-person events throughout the year or online, there's just going to be so much to love from VGMCon. So do give them a checkout, and of course, you'll be able to hear more about it in their Discord. I'll be sharing my own respective involvements, two panels that I'll be a part of. One I'm co-hosting with Pete Gillette on music videos, and of course, my Very Zelda performance, which I'm going to give it my all for a very special con. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Vaughn, for sticking on, and we'll see you next time.